Sunday to hear that. We're going to rejoice on Easter. It's a celebration. Praise the Lord. It's a celebration. He is alive. He is alive. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. So good to see everyone here. We do have some of our young people that are at youth convention, and that's going to be an exciting time for them. And be praying that God blesses those services and they come back blessed and anointed and changed and filled and with direction. Amen. Amen. And excitement and passion and all of that. Amen. I'm thankful for our youth department and all of the work that they do to invest in the lives of young people in the churches all throughout Missouri. And my heart is close to that, having worked in district youth work for many years. And I understand it's work. It's investment. And those leaders put a lot of time into hosting these type of events, and so we appreciate that. And I do try to tell them that every chance I get. Thank you for your investment in our youth. Amen. And so I tell you what, I appreciate somebody investing in me when I was a young person. And I enjoy the opportunity to invest in other young people as well. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. How many want favor and good understanding, not only in the sight of God, but with man as well? Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. You may be seated. I'll never forget a few months ago, I remember one day during the office hours here at the church that two men stopped by and asked to see the pastor. And I stopped, lots of people stopped by for various reasons. Want to see the pastor, want somebody to pray with them. And prayed with someone yesterday that stopped by, just needed prayer. And so I stopped whatever it was that I was doing and visited a few minutes with them. It was two men involved in Alcoholics Anonymous. And one was a man that was trying to kick his alcohol habit, and the other was his sponsor. And they had been driving by and perhaps discussing the different steps of their program, and this man wanted someone to say a prayer with him at whatever level he was at. And so they just drove by the church and said, well, let's stop there and see if somebody can pray with us. And so, like I said, there's a lot of people that come by for various things, and I can't always help them, folks. I can't always give what they're asking for, but prayer is one thing I can do. And so they're out in the foyer area. We just took a moment. We knelt right there. And I didn't have an altar leaning or nothing. It was a little awkward, and we're just kind of kneeling in a circle and praying. But we had a little time of prayer. And I've never heard from them again since that time. I do hope that there was a change made in his life that day. I pray that somewhere there was a seed that was planted and that it'll grow in his heart, and the Lord knows the future. Maybe one day in heaven we'll hear the final report. Amen. Of course, Alcoholics Anonymous and other similar programs, sometimes they get criticism. I'm definitely not an expert on their 12 steps, but even I have criticized their practices in one respect. I know that they make the practice of stating even someone who's been clean for years, and they say, I'm an alcoholic. I'm an alcoholic. I feel like if we come to the Lord, there is deliverance. And we don't have to be who we used to be. Amen. We don't have to be called what we were used to be called. Amen. Sometimes we might need a little extra help walking through some things and coming out of that life. But when Jesus Christ makes us a new creature, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I'm thankful that what I once was, I'm not that any longer. Amen. But the Lord has delivered us, and God is bringing us out, and God is working on us to be everything He's called us to be. But I do understand the principle that AA is trying to convey, that when someone has struggled with something like this in the past, they can have a tendency to easily pick it back up again. And in fact, if you will notice, people who end up backsliding out of the church, whenever they first came into the church, whatever it was, generally, whatever it was, the first or the last thing that they let go of when they came into the church is usually the first thing they pick up when they go out of the church. And I feel it's often spiritual. I know the world likes to just assume, well, it's genetics and people, you know, some people are predisposed to addiction, but there are such things as familiar spirits. And for someone who came out of a certain lifestyle, they have to keep their guard up at all times. They have to be very careful because even for someone who had parents, perhaps, that were involved in drugs or alcohol, they don't need to give any space to that. They don't need to give any space to that because the enemy is watching. The enemy is watching, and he knows the spirits that maybe tripped their parents up or maybe tripped their grandparents up, and the enemy's be watching, and he's patient. He's biding his time and waiting for just the right moment that they may fall to the same thing. So I believe there's a spiritual connotation to all this. We don't win this battle with our flesh without God's help. And we haven't won it until we're dead or raptured. We're still in a battle. We're still fighting this. And I wish I could say that as soon as we repent and are baptized and are filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I wish I could say that we've got it made and there's never going to be a battle, never going to be a fight. But the fact is we still have to deal with the flesh. We still have to deal with our human spirit. We still have to deal and overcome temptation. We still have to fight the good fight of faith. In fact, I try to tell all of those that when they receive the Holy Ghost, I want you to know, you better get ready. You better get ready because you're about to go into a war and you don't even realize it, but war has been declared against your life. You didn't ask for this. You didn't go looking for this fight. But as soon as you made a start for the Lord, you better watch out because the enemy, he's paying attention. Now, we have to continuously keep our guard up through prayer and reading of God's Word if we want to live in victory. Now, I'm not here tonight to preach about deliverance from alcohol. Although I know God could deliver you in this house tonight if that's what you need. And I'm not here to preach about overcoming drugs, but I know that God could do it. I believe He could do it right now. And in this atmosphere of what we feel here tonight, I feel like somebody is going to receive something from the Lord supernaturally. But I am here to preach about something else that we all have to continually fight. We all have to continually fight. We are constantly having to deal with this particular battle. Until we are dead or raptured, we'll have to keep dealing with it over and over and over again. It's not something we can say that we fully overcome. Not in this life. Because every day it has the tendency to pop back up again. And every day we have to put our spirit or our life under subjection to the Spirit of God. And so tonight I want to preach to us all about this very, very important subject. Applying it to every one of us here tonight. Are you ready for it? We're going to look tonight at this subject. Recovering control freaks. Recovering control freaks. Now, I know it's a different topic. And immediately we all say, oh, not me. Oh, surely not I. Maybe everybody else. Maybe I could think of, yeah. But not me. We're not control freaks. And maybe the word control freak is a little strong tonight, but we all have to fight the battle of wanting to be in control. We all, every single one of us, have to fight this battle. It is a base desire within us to want to plan our life out and want to decide where we're going to go and what we're going to do and what kind of life we're going to live. Even in the church, we all have to fight this battle. Even in the church, people struggle with control, and we don't like to admit it. Sometimes we play it off as just, well, I'm just passionate. I'm just detail-oriented. We're just good at what we do, and we just know what we like, and we want it our way. And every one of us, in some way, at some point in our lives, in some situation, will have to battle the tendency to become a control freak. And that word may be a little strong, but I'm hoping to convey the importance of this tonight. We all have to fight against it at some point, some more than others. But here's the main point of this sermon tonight. It's all about where our trust is. It's all about where our trust is. And God takes us through life, and He allows situations, and He allows circumstances, and sometimes He lets the storm come our way, and sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of a battle, and we wonder, why am I going through this? But sometimes we've got to just step back and realize it's because I have to learn to trust Him. I have to learn to say, God, I can't do this without you. I can't work this out without your help. I can't make it through the night without your peace. I can't make it anymore with unless you come through for me. And so, God, I don't know what I could do without you, but God, I submit to you, and I give my life and my heart to you. It's all about where our trust is. So can I be real with us here tonight? Thank you. Now, this is going to sound bad, but just hang on. I have dealt with something since I was a teenager. And this is something that I have really struggled with. For the life of me, I cannot figure out eternity. I don't know if anybody else is got an issue with that, but I'm just kind of confessing here before you tonight. Maybe it's not something that bothers you, but for this melancholy mind that likes numbers and likes to add up the numbers and them all match and get to the right place and everything that makes sense and understand the process and to be organized and so I can settle things in my mind, okay? That's how my mind works. And so eternity doesn't do that. Everything we know on this earth, it has limits. There are seasons. Seasons come, seasons go. Seasons start, seasons end. There's months and weeks and days. We go to work or we go to school, and then when the day's done, it's over. We live our life so many years, and then we pass away. Of course, we know it's not over then, but everything is in time. We've all heard since children that all good things must end. But eternity is indefinite. It's infinite. It's of unending time. Eternity is a state to which time has no meaning. And it's impossible to understand with our finite minds something so infinite. Now, let me take you through this a little bit. Here's how it usually happens for me, okay? And I'm hoping to set off a few panic attacks in here. They'll discover some galaxy. They've never seen it before. It's billions or maybe in trillions, it's billions of light years away. and it has billions of stars in it. And I start thinking about how big the universe is and how little we are and how God's bigger than all of that. And then I start thinking about heaven, and I start thinking about eternity and going on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And Brother Pruitt, my mind can't comprehend that. How can something go on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? And so I was really struggling with this. And this has been quite a few years ago. I was an evangelist. I was preaching at a church, and I asked the pastor, he was an elder pastor, I said, have you ever experienced this? And he said, yes, and I can tell you what the remedy is for it. And I said, oh, good. Well, I wanted to know because I was really struggling with this eternity, and he said, here's the answer. He said, you're not going to like it, but here's the answer. He said, a 7-day fast will probably take care of it. That's not what I wanted to hear. I mean, folks, I was getting short of breath. Fight or flight would kick in. If I was sitting down and thinking about this, I'd have to get up and I didn't want to go on a 7-day fast. But it's the truth, because our flesh is so strong. And our flesh is in love with the world. But this world is one day going to pass away. And our flesh doesn't like that. Our flesh is not happy about that, because it enjoys the things of the world. But when we're fasting, it's starving that flesh. And the spirit gets stronger in us as the flesh gets weaker. And so the things of this world grow strangely dim, and we start looking with a heavenly perspective instead of a fleshly view. And in the light of God's glory, we don't really care so much anymore about the things of earth, and we don't really care so much about the things that are temporal and temporary, but we start looking to the things of heaven, and we start looking to the things that are eternal. It's all about trust. Where is our trust? There are some things we're not meant to figure out. There are some answers that we're not going to have in this life. There are some doors that God, for whatever reason, doesn't open for us. There are some prayers that He doesn't answer, at least in the way we would want them answered. But when we trust God, when we're content that the Lord knows what's best for us, and so our life is in His hands, and there's a reason why that door hasn't opened, and there's a reason why that prayer hasn't been answered the way we wanted it to be, and maybe God was completely silent, but He saw beyond. And we have to trust Him. And when we trust God, we're content to know that even if we don't have the answers, God has our best interest in mind. It's all about where our trust is. It's all about where our trust is. You see, if I'm trusting in man, if I'm trusting in temporal things, if I'm trusting in the flesh, then you think about eternity, and oh, I want to tell you, that's not a very comfortable thing to think about. But when we're trusting in God, and we know that our life is in His hand, and we know that we've been covered by His blood, and we know that He stands before the beginning, and He stands after the ending, and He's going to take care of us, then there's a peace that comes. There's a comfort that comes. Praise the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I want to challenge you tonight, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, in every situation, in every circumstance, at every point in life. Trust in the Lord. God is going to take you through. God is going to make a way. God is going to provide. Hallelujah. Sometimes God allows us to go through things, the struggles, the battles, the even temptations at times, because he knows that those things will strengthen our trust in him. And whatever he has planned for our future, we just can't handle it with our own strength and trusting in our own selves. And so as the storm comes our way to where we can't see where we're at, and we're surrounded by the storm, instead of relying on our own strength to get us through, we learn and we have to in that moment to trust in him. And sometimes we're in that battle, and we didn't ask for the battle, but it's more than what we can win and what we can get through on our own. But I tell you today, when we look to Jesus, we learn that he's able to fight any battle that we face. And we just have to trust like David that the battle is the Lord's. I want to tell you today, it's all about our trust. Who do you trust in tonight? Who are you trusting in tonight? Are you trying to control it all yourself? Are you trying to fix everything on your own? Oh, come on. Why don't you just step back and let the Lord work? Why don't you just step back and say, God, I've tried this long enough, and I've made a mess of things, and I'm stepping back, Lord, and I'm going to worship you. However you come through, God, I know you're going to make a way. Sometimes we got to learn how to pray all over again. You see, prayer is not about us controlling God. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, I'm going to go pray, and I know how this needs to be fixed, Sister Audrey. I'm going to go talk to the Lord about it. I got a few ideas, God, and if you did things my way, it'd be a mess. But prayer is not supposed to be about us controlling God and making him do what we think needs to be done. Prayers, that's not the purpose of prayer. Prayer is about aligning ourselves with his will. It's about humbling ourselves and saying, God, you must increase and I must decrease. Prayer is about getting our spirit aligned with his spirit so that then we can pray his will over our lives and his will in our church and his will in our family and his will in our world. Yes, there's some times that we can change things through prayer, but first we need to get in tune with the Spirit of God, and we've got to get on the same page as his spirit. We've got to get our place spiritually so that we can hear from him. Praise the Lord. And if we're in the Lord's army, and if he's our commander, we've got to know what he wants us to do. And that's what prayer is. It's humbling ourselves. It's submitting to him so that we can hear his will for our lives. And then we can go to prayer. And we, in the midst of prayer, God starts speaking to us and working on us. And we pray in the will of God. And when we're praying in the will of God, it's going to come to pass. When we're praying out of the will of God, sometimes the Lord has mercy on us. Sometimes God says, if we persist long enough, he says, okay, go ahead. Better to submit to God and say, God, what's your will? What's your will? Oh, there needs to be a fervency in our prayer. There needs to be a passion in our prayer. It's a serious thing. This flesh has to be crucified. Our heart has to be committed to him. This life has to be laid down so that we can pick up the life that God has prepared for us. I want to tell you, weak prayers don't crucify the flesh. Weak prayers don't crucify this flesh. Little cute prayers, they don't do the job. But there's got to be a passion in us. There's got to be a soul searching. Oh, God, how I need you. Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Make me what you want me to be. I'm not happy with who I am, God, but I need you to change me. I need you to make me more like you. God, I need your touch. I need your help. Rabatoso Kota Rabba. Every time we come to the altar of prayer, there needs to be a sacrifice where we leave something of ourselves on that altar, and we leave that place a little more like the Lord and a little less like us. Oh, come on, somebody. God's calling you to a higher place, but there's got to be an altar, and there's got to be a sacrifice where we say, God, I'm giving up control. I'm giving up control of this, and make me what you want me to be. Hallelujah. Come on, would you lift your hands and say, God, I need you. God, I need you, Lord. Make me what you want me to be. Work on me, Jesus. Keep working on me, Lord. God, I pray that you'd purge everything from my life of sin. I pray that you'd purge every bit of rebellion. Purge every bit of pride. Help me to be more like you, Jesus. Hallelujah, amen, amen, amen. You see, to us, broken things are despised. Broken things are worthless. We throw them away. But God takes what's been broken and he makes it into something that it never could have been in the beginning. And until our will is broken, until we submit our will to his plan for our lives, God is limited in what he can do for us and through us. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Psalm 51 and 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. In prayer, we put ourselves on the altar, and we ask God to let our will be crushed. Let our will be broken. Let our dreams and let our plans be placed on the altar. Let them be sacrificed for the greater good that God has for us. And sometimes those things that are in our heart, they may have been placed there by God. And so when we have that kind of attitude, God brings them to pass. Oh, but other times it could have been that our foolish heart was dreaming about some stuff that was out of the will of God. Sometimes our selfishness was dreaming about some things that would have destroyed our lives. But when we put it on the altar and say, God, let your will be done in me, then God works everything for our good when we trust the Lord. Come on, somebody, stop trying to control everything. Stop trying to fix everything and just let the Lord work and see what marvelous things he does. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. The more we try to hold to our life, the more we try to hold to our will, to our control of things, the more we're going to struggle. But the more we release it and we trust God to take us through and we wait on him, the more he blesses and the more he works in our life. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Pastor, I surely don't know how this could be working for my good. I don't see how this situation could benefit me. And we may never know in this life. But if we love God, if we're submitted to his purpose in our lives, if we're seeking him through prayer and through his word and through worship and faithfulness to the church, amen, if we can just say with the best of the saints, this is working for my good. I may not see it now, but Lord, I will trust you. We're all control freaks in some respect. We want things to work out the way we want them to. We want our way. We have an idea about how it should be. And
Lord, let my will break. Let my will break. And when we trust God,
see, we have this thing put inside of us that we see a problem and automatically our mind starts figuring out how to fix it. But sometimes with spiritual things in life, God's not looking for us to fix it. He's looking for us to trust Him. When we trust God, we don't seek to go around and manipulate everything. And when we trust God in our finances, when we trust God in our future, when we trust God in our family, when we trust God in everything, it brings a peace that we can't find anywhere else because the Lord's in control and we're following Him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Can you remember it? You know how memories will stick in your mind of certain moments, certain times, certain places. I can remember being about 4 years old. And I don't even know what the situation was, but I just remember hugging my dad and him hugging me and that feeling of everything is going to be all right. Now, me and my dad, when we see each other, we say goodbye, we kind of do the side hug, you know. And so I don't really get that feeling necessarily anymore like that. But there's some times in prayer where we're broken because we're facing things that we can't fix. But we have a spiritual Father that I believe when we come to Him in a broken place and say, God, I'm broken and I need you. A broken heart, a contrite spirit, he's not going to turn that away. But I believe He wraps His arms around us and says, everything's going to be okay. Just trust me. Just trust me. Would you stand with me tonight? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. One of the main battles that it seems people face when they start letting God use them in a spiritual manner is battling against the spirit of fear. There's all kinds of fears, folks. Anxiety, worry, people afraid of spiders, people afraid of the dark, people afraid of heights. People afraid of snakes. I probably hit some of you on all those right there. People afraid of being afraid. There's a term for that. I don't know what it is right now. The spirit of fear. I remember the time I really met up with the spirit of fear, and I'm telling a couple stories tonight, but I just want to relate a couple things to you. I've been sick and had some type of sinus infection, something like that. We've been going through some things. We took a week-long vacation with four kids. They were a lot younger then. We're in a hotel room all week long with four kids. Wonderful time, wonderful time. We had a great time, but sometimes after the vacation, you're like, okay, I need a vacation. Got home, and I said, I got to do something about this sinus infection. So we made an appointment, went to the doctor. He gave me some medicine. He gave me a little pack, a steroid pack, to help the medicine go better.
And I don't know what happened, folks, but I was already so ramped up. I was already stressed out. We'd been fighting some battles in the church, and this was years ago when we were in Texas. Just really going through some things, financial pressure, you list it, you name it. I didn't sleep that night. It was like somebody had given me about 3 or 4 shots of caffeine, and I was wide awake. Okay, the next night, I didn't sleep. The next night, I didn't sleep. After about 3 nights, you start worrying all day long about if you can sleep that night. 7 nights, I either did not sleep or it was just very briefly. Went back to the doctor a couple times. He's like, okay, you're not supposed to cut this out halfway through. Just stop it right now. You want to talk about anxiety and fear? So bad, I was fearful of every breath. And I was so focused because I got fearful that if I went to sleep, I would stop breathing, Brother Pruitt. Looking back, it's almost as if I could see in that bedroom as I'm trying to battle this, it's almost as if I could see those big black spirits saying, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. You're going to be destroyed. I went back to the doctor. Finally, he said, okay, I'm giving you a sleeping pill. I took it. And it was months process coming out of that. But through the physical thing and the spiritual thing and all of that, I had to learn to trust God. When I went to sleep, that fear would come. You're not going to wake up. You're going to stop breathing in your sleep. You're not going to do a work for God. You're going to be destroyed. Have to trust God. God, I put my head on this bed. I put my head in this pillow, Lord. Forgive me of every sin. I'm sorry, Lord. I trust you. My life's in your hand. And when we die in that way every day, that's when you can truly live. Because we're not living in our flesh. We are in this fleshly body, but we've crucified this flesh and say, okay, God, every day, it's a gift. When I lay my head on that bed at night, God, it's not a promise tomorrow, but I trust you. I trust you. Praise the Lord. And I'm so thankful. Sister McCoy hates me about it. I lay my head on that bed at night. I'm out. God's good. God's good. Come on, somebody tonight needs to hear this. I can't help but feeling here right now. God wants to do something so wonderful, so incredible in somebody's life here. But before he can do it, you've got to release control. You've got to release control. You've got to give up. You've got to surrender to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Would you just give up tonight and say, God, I give up control. I give up control, Lord. My life is yours. You do what you want to do with it, Lord. You take me where you want to take me, Lord. God, you direct my life. God, I'm going to stop trying to control everything. I'm going to stop trying to fix everything, and I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to surrender to you. I give up, Lord. I surrender tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know we lift our hands, and it's a reaching out for the Lord, but it's also a surrender. Come on, would you throw up your hands and surrender right now?
Oh God, I quit trying to do it on my own. I quit trying to make it in my own flesh. I quit trying to do it by my own strength. But I surrender, Lord. I give up, Lord. I turn my life over to you right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Would there be somebody that you would come to this altar right now and you'd say, Lord, here's my life. Take it and do what you want to do with it, Lord. I'll trust you, God. I'll live for you, Lord. I'll do what you want me to do. My life is not my own, Lord, but it's been bought with a price. Would you come? Would you give your life to the Lord tonight all over again? Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. God, this life is not my own. Lord, you purchased it. You paid for it. You paid the price for me. And I give my heart to you, Lord. God, I give my heart to you. I give everything to you tonight. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender, Lord. I surrender, God. Hallelujah. I submit to you, Lord. I humble myself before you, Lord. I can't make it without you, God. I need your touch. I need your power, Lord. I need your help tonight. Oh, God, my life is yours. My life is yours. My life is yours. Para el mundo rebosando y quita mañana la basura.